Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast presented by Omaha Steaks. Josh All alone with you guys. Happy Friday, everybody. I hope your week has gone well. I hope you guys are ready for another fun weekend of preseason football, baby. But it is the preseason finale, so this is the last week before the teams have to do their final roster cutdowns, which is coming up on Tuesday next week. And we get a bye week, and football is back. We are less than 2 weeks away from the kickoff of the season. It's here, guys. It is here. So today, what I want to talk about, just cover some quick news and notes, you know, over the last couple days since we did our live show for the Browns, and just kind of talk a little preview. Browns, Seahawks tomorrow night, 10 p.m. over here on the East Coast. That's a little bit late for some of us, but you know what? We'll tough it out. We'll stay up. We'll watch that game. And for everybody who's like me, we'll watch the second half on Sunday morning. But we will be back then to talk about the game after it's over, either on Sunday or Monday. Haven't quite decided what the plan is for that yet, but we will be with you guys for all of that stuff. So before I dive into what I want to talk about here today real quick, just want to remind you guys, if you're watching on YouTube, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, tap that notification bell so you don't miss any of the new episodes, new content, new videos we're putting out. We are so close. We are less than 150 subscribers away from hitting 10K. Please help us get there. We really appreciate everybody's support. You guys are the best audience in the world. I say that all the time. I don't know how important this announcement right now is going to be, but you do have, by the time I get this out after I record it, you're going to have 5, 6, 7 hours left to sign up for fantasy football. So if you're watching this on Friday, go to jointhedogs.com, join the Patreon, just $5 a month. That's all you got to do. Go to the lowest tier. Any tier gets you access to fantasy football. Jump in there, put your name on the registration list, and you are into a league automatically. No worries, nothing stopping you there. But if this is Saturday and you're watching this, I'm sorry, the leagues are closed, and we're already picking draft dates and times. So if it's Friday and you still want to play, you got a few hours left, get in, jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member, access to the private Discord, the Discord Dog Pack shows, and fantasy football. All right, so I feel like I covered enough there. Let's dive into just a few things for the Browns. It was funny, Justin and I went up to training camp, and on Wednesday we took his oldest daughter with us. First time up there, she's 5, she had a great time, it was so much fun. She was very excited to get an autograph. And so we thought, okay, we were sitting in a good area where it's like, of course, the players are going to gravitate over here. There was other Browns fans in that area that go to training camp all the time that were like, yeah, don't worry, we're in a good spot. They're coming over here. So we're thinking, okay, great. You know, we'll get her a couple autographs and all that kind of stuff. Well, they ended up doing some, this is new this year, they've never done this before, where they do passes. You actually have to like sign up to get a pass to go out on the field after practice for an opportunity for autographs. So we were back on the sideline like, oh crap, we're not going to get any autographs. But one person did saunter on over and start signing a few autographs in our section. And I think he was the only one who came over to our area to sign autographs. And that was former Cleveland Browns kicker Cade York. So, Justin's daughter got the Cade York autograph, and the very next day, Cade York is a member of the Washington Commanders. So, Andrew Berry trades Cade York to the Commanders for a conditional 7th-round pick. Now, obviously, we know that Cade York was not making the active roster because we've got Dustin Hopkins. We just signed him to an extension. We had been hoping, speculating that Cade York could be a practice squad guy. We could keep him around in that capacity. But, you know, this is a, Cade York is a prospect. There's a reason the Browns took him in the 4th round. I mean, with the kicking power that he possesses, the college production profile that he put together, the dude could be a serious weapon for an NFL offense. And that's what the Browns expected him to be when they took him. You know, it just didn't work out for Cade York and the Browns in his rookie season. And then obviously they had high hopes that he would get some of his inconsistencies corrected over the offseason last year and then heading into training camp. The reports were up and down. Preseason, he missed kicks in every single game. And the Browns just knew, like, we cannot, we just can't be losing games in the season because we can't make a field goal. And so they ditched Cade York. They cut him. Remember, they traded a seventh round pick to go get Dustin Hopkins. And now they get Cade York traded for a seventh round pick. So it's kind of a, you know, it's a good lateral move to recoup some capital for a guy that wasn't going to make the team anyway, because while we were hoping Cade York could make the practice squad, I say all that stuff about, you know, his history and him being a highly touted prospect to say that he wasn't going to last on our practice squad. And I think the Browns knew that. And it's like, hey, if we've got trade offers coming in, people that are interested in Cade York, and we can get some draft capital for him, it makes sense to trade him instead of putting him in our practice squad and then somebody just coming in and signing him. So Cade York off to the Commanders. I read that they waived whatever kicker that they had in camp, and Cade York is the only kicker on their roster. So Cade York is a Washington Commander. So if you're still a big Cade York fan and you're in like a fantasy league with kickers, get Cade York. He's going to be the kicker for the Washington Commanders, whose offense should be better this year. So good luck to Cade York. Always liked him. Just will never forget that massive, 58-yard game winner in week one against Carolina to beat Baker Mayfield down there with the Panthers back in 2022. That was awesome. But, you know, it just did not work out. And it's a bummer. But, you know, we've got D-Hop now. We've got Dustin Hopkins. He was awesome last year. The only thing, and I don't want to like, we were a little bit negative on the show on Wednesday, I know, kind of harping on some of the bad news. Dustin Hopkins has been dealing, like, he ended the season last year. I think he ended on IR. I mean, he was hurt. He hurt that hamstring chasing down Damian Pierce, I believe it was, on the kickoff return in Houston. And, you know, they said he was 100% and he's good to go. I read that he is dealing with a minor injury or something right now, but he should be. No, you know, they're not worried about his week one status or anything, but you know, this is the Browns and injuries that we're talking about. So obviously I get a little queasy in the tummy when any of that stuff gets mentioned. So hopefully everything's good with Dustin Hopkins and he's good to go. And the Browns did sign Lucas Haversick to come in and kick this week. I'm sure he'll be the kicker since Hopkins is dealing with something. I think Haversick will be the kicker in Seattle tomorrow night. And maybe he's a guy they slip onto the practice squad. He was on the Browns practice squad for a little bit last year. The Browns had signed him, I think, to like a futures reserve deal or something this offseason. And then they waived him. And then he went, I don't remember what team he signed with for camp, waived. Now he's back with us. So he's just a guy who's kind of been in and out with Cleveland for the last year or so. And he's coming in here to at least kick for tomorrow. We'll see what happens beyond that. So moving on, I guess we'll do some more roster movement things. The Browns terminated the contract for Giovanni Ritchie, the tight end we signed this offseason. A guy that, you know, I don't know about Blake and Justin, but I know me, I was starting to get a little excited about him just because of his versatility. Not that he was going to be some sort of offensive weapon for us, you know, or anything consistent, but just the fact that if you needed a guy to come in and we need to run some sort of formation with a fullback, we need a guy to slip out, you know, in the move tight end position just for like a specific play here or there. I felt like he could fill some multiple different roles and provide a little depth to that tight end position. But he went out with a knee injury, you know, this last week. And I think that he's just been a little banged up in the Browns. I gotta say, I have been impressed. I was impressed with Ritchie in the preseason games, too. I thought that he made some nice catches, made some nice plays. But Zaire Mitchell-Payton, being a UDFA from, I think, 2 years ago, has stuck around on the Browns practice squad for, I believe it's been 2 years, and now looks to be in line to be that tight end three for the roster. Now, whether the Browns opt to keep him on the active roster or they just decide to go David Njoku, Jordan Akins, Zaire Mitchell-Payton onto the practice squad, we'll see. But Mitchell Payton is a guy that has popped in the preseason. He has been reliable. He has been consistent. He catches the ball. He looks athletic. He's a big athletic tight end. He's very similar to what the Browns already have style-wise with Njoku and Akins and now Mitchell Payton. So it just makes sense that he would be that next guy in line, you know, in the depth chart and all that kind of stuff. So good for him. I think he's played very well. He's a guy that I think we'll see a lot more out of tomorrow night in Seattle. I know the starters are slated to play for, I have not seen any indication like for how long, but we'll see if David's out there for many snaps or not. But I think, you know, we'll get Akins and then we'll definitely see Mitchell Payton, probably the majority, if not all of the second half. And, you know, we were training camp on Wednesday. We mentioned this the other night, but as like David Njoku didn't practice, he was in the weight room. Probably, I don't know if he was working out or what. He was not on the practice field. And so Jordan Akins, obviously next man up, taking all the first team reps. But after the first team, second, third, it was Mitchell Payton taking those reps. And it was a lot of what we've seen in the preseason, which kind of goes to Kenny Mack's concern about our offense being very heavily focused on tight ends and running backs and not scheming to get these wide receivers involved or open at the higher rate we were hoping. So Mitchell Payton was getting targeted like crazy up at camp. Every time, you know, he was never like the first read, you could tell, but anytime there was pressure in the backfield and the quarterback had to readjust and dump the ball off, it was always Mitchell Payton. So that would be my projection for the roster in terms of that position. So let's see other things. Obviously, Pierre Strong left practice on Wednesday, has a rib contusion, was taken to the hospital. Have not seen any updates on his progression, whether or not he's back or, you know, the timeline for his return. But the Browns, in a corresponding move to his injury, they did sign a former UFL running back, Jacob Sailors. Don't know a whole lot about Sailors other than he performed well last year in the UFL and all that kind of stuff. So brought him in. I'm sure we'll see him in some capacity tomorrow night in Seattle late in the game, probably just to grind out those final minutes of the game or whatever. But we'll see. Who knows? Maybe they have bigger plans to utilize him tomorrow night just to get a deeper look at what he can do. Not really sure how that one's going to play out. There were some other moves. They signed a couple like tackles and things. I think it's just depth for this week and you know, tomorrow night. Like I said, cut down day is on Tuesday, so those guys aren't going to be around much longer, most likely anyway. So I guess we'll do a couple other notes here. First thing, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you like the shirt I'm wearing, which I actually really like this one, it says Cleveland AF, which, you know, you guys know what that means. Pretty sweet shirt. This is on our shop, actually, our store. It's at thedogspodcast.com/shop. So go check it out. We've got a bunch of cool shirts and merchandise on there. We don't talk about our merch store very often, but it is there. I think we have some pretty cool things. So, and if there's ever like a design idea that you guys have, you're thinking, hey, this would be a cool shirt or something, just comment it to us, email it to us, let us know. We are always open to new ideas. So that's kind of where this one came from. But anyway, let's talk about this tackle situation. So I was reading a Browns Wire article by Corey Kinnan, and he was writing about Jack Conklin, which we mentioned. He was out there on Wednesday doing his kick stepping, kind of, we were calling him football calisthenics because it's not like he was out there running drills. It wasn't football drills because he's on PUP. He's technically, he can't do that. But he's just out there before the team, just kind of going through his own stretching, running, and he was doing these kick stepping drills. And we didn't really notice this, but Corey was writing about how he was practicing his kick steps at the right tackle from the like right tackle perspective and also the left tackle perspective. Now, you know, I was kind of reading through this and thinking, okay, this all sounds good. And I'll talk more about what Corey was writing about, but I don't know if that's standard. I have not really paid attention to that kind of warm-up drill or whatever you want to call it, but I don't know if all tackles kind of practice their kick steps from both sides or if they just really focus only on the side that they are on. But he strongly believes that that's an indication the Browns have a contingency plan, which he called it, at left tackle for week one against Dallas. So if Jed Wills is not available, if he's not back, if he's not healthy enough to come out and be active against the Cowboys in week one, Corey was writing that it's his belief that Jack Conklin will be the Browns starting left tackle with DeJuan Jones starting at right. So I just thought that was interesting. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I don't even know if I'm advocating for that. I don't hate the idea. If Jack Conklin is capable, now he's an all-pro right tackle. Can he, I mean, he's been in the league for years now. He's a pro. He's a veteran. Can he make that switch? I would be more confident in Jack Conklin being able to pivot over, flip over to that left side, to that left tackle spot, and perform pretty well than I am DeJuan Jones, just being that DeJuan's a younger guy, you know, a little more of a raw prospect coming in, all that kind of stuff. Yes, he kicked ass last year at right tackle, but that's because that's where he played in college. So I think it makes sense. I've kind of been on that train. Keep him at right tackle. I think we need to stop talking about and wishing and putting it out there on social media and stuff that DeJuan Jones needs to play left tackle. I don't think that's going to happen. The Browns have not practiced him there. He doesn't run with any of the second, third, fourth, 10th team offenses at all at the left tackle. They don't practice him there. He doesn't get any reps in the preseason. He is a right tackle. Jack Conklin, on the other hand, if what Corey is reporting here is true, he's doing these kick step drills from the left tackle position. That could be the Browns' contingency plan if Jed Wills is not ready. This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Dog pack, the summer is in full swing, and you guys know what that means. Omaha Steaks annual hotter than fire sale. Go to omahasteaks.com right now, and for a limited time, you guys can get big savings on great packages from Omaha Steaks for just $99. Plus, you guys can get an extra $10 off that order with promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, at checkout. So these packages with that promo code are essentially $89. From exquisite steaks to legendary burgers, the premium pork, the air-chilled chicken, the meatballs, the chicken wings, the appetizers, the ready-to-eat meals, the wine, everything that Omaha Steaks has to offer, head over there today, check it out. Shop the Hotter Than Fire sale to get these exclusive savings on the mouthwatering packages that start at just $99. Plus, use that code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out for an extra $10 off your order. But hurry, because this sale is only available for a limited time. Summer always flies by, and this deal is going to fly by, so you're not going to want to miss it. Go shop today, omahasteaks.com. Use promo code DAWGS at checkout for an extra $10 off your order.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, last couple things here. Mike Hall Jr., it has been a whirlwind of a week and a half for this guy. Last Monday night, gets into his domestic violence, disturbance, police report, you know, all this stuff. We talked about it the next night after he got arrested and then, you know, released on bail and everything. And I have been on social media talking to people like the whole week and a half now, saying, I get it. I get that this does not look good. But we have got to stop jumping to conclusions and projecting all kinds of, oh, this is what happened, or this is probably this, or this is probably that, onto a situation that we don't have all the information about. I'm getting sick and tired of seeing all the speculation when there's nothing to base it on. And people want to try to act like they're reporting stuff that's true when it's just speculation. It's just opinion. So what are the facts? So we know that the police report, the initial allegations from Mike Hall's fiance, were very disturbing, very horrific. And then, you know, Justin even made the comment on the show last week, you know, if the allegations of what she's saying is true, that he actually did what she said, this is like felony level charges. I mean, this could be prison time. And then we find out a little bit later that same day, out on $10,000 bail, domestic violence misdemeanor charges, court date set for September 10th. And I remember saying, okay, that doesn't add up. Like the what came out of the whole situation does not add up to the to what was accused. So obviously, and then just to kind of further that feeling, the Browns had him on the practice field the very next day out there with at joint practice with the Vikings. And it was like, okay, so maybe there's clearly the Browns have all the information that we don't. And the police have information that we don't. And my call played and started and played in the preseason game on Saturday against Minnesota. And just the actions following everything were not jiving with the allegations. So for me, that was an immediate red flag. Like, okay, let's pump the brakes here. Let's just kind of wait and see how this comes about. Like, I'd rather be on the right side of the story than trying to be the first one to get out there with an opinion and hope that my opinion is right. Let's just let the facts play out. And so now it has come out, Mike Hall's fiance, and I am so sick and tired of all the bullshit. Oh, she's only doing this for money, and she realized that she wasn't going to get any money. And what I can gather from the situation, and we'll get into it a little bit, Mike Hall's fiance, I think there might be something wrong there, a little off, because you know she had all these allegations and everything about what he did that night, what the police came in and arrested him for and charged him, you know, what he was charged with, did not add up to what she was saying. And now she comes out and it has recanted part of her allegations, saying that the portion of her story where she claimed that Hall held a gun to her temple and told her that he was going to effing end it all, that never happened. That wasn't true. Okay, well, now it makes a little more sense why he wasn't charged with anything more than a misdemeanor and why the Browns still had him out there practicing and playing in the preseason game. And now I will do a little bit of my own speculation, but again, not in the way the people online are doing, but in a way it's like, let's just hold off on the facts because there's a possibility. If she was lying about that, what else was she lying about? You know, there the whole thing is very, it's one of those, I don't know if you guys are into like literature and stuff like that, but when you're writing a story there, you can, or making a movie or a television show, whatever, you can have what's called, I believe it's an unreliable narrator. So it's like the main character of the book or the show or whatever. Think of Shutter Island. Spoiler alert, if you've never seen Shutter Island, don't listen to the next minute. But, you know, Leo the whole time's investigating what's going on the island. And then in the end, you find out he's not a detective. He's actually one of the inmates at the asylum for killing his family. So, you know, and he just had no idea. He had to completely erase it from his memory. So that's like the unreliable narrator. So was she an unreliable, I don't know what you would call it, witness, victim, whatever. Was the mom an unreliable witness, whatever. So these situations are so hairy, so sticky. It's not good in any regard for Mike Hall, but I don't believe it's as bad as what was initially reported. And I think we just need to chill out, let the facts play out. I did see then too, that it was reported that Hall and his fiance had, they've already had a former incident. I can't remember if it was a police report, if like police were called to this or what was going on. It was like a year ago. And the incident was actually, I guess you would call it domestic violence from her to him. She physically attacked Mike Hall. So there is a history here of, I don't know what you want to call it, instability, toxic relationship. And I know I've seen a lot of people online like, dude, Mike Hall, just get rid of, dump this chick, get rid of her, like get out of this. Guys, they have a kid together. They've got a little, I don't know if he's like one, two, or she, I can't remember. I just know they have an infant child together. Situation is very complicated. Situation is very bad. Mike Hall did not have the greatest, he did not grow up in the greatest environment by what I've come to understand about him and his history, his childhood, all that kind of stuff. So the dude is clearly working through some things. He is clearly in a bad situation. So I'm just here to say, let's pump the brakes. Let's chill out a little bit. It may not be exactly what it seems on the surface, or at least what it did seem when everything was first coming out. And there was just X posts like boom, 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 boom. Oh, this gun, blah, blah. It's like, okay, I get it. I get that that's the police report, but people are trying to use police report as actual evidence where it's like the police report is just what she was claiming happened. That's testimony. That's not, those are, I guess that's not even testimony. Those are allegations. So then the evidence is what would prove those one way or the other. So now that she's already taken them back, some of them. So I think, you know, let's just chill out on Mike Hall. Again, not condoning anything that he did or any part that he had in the situation, but I'm also not going to sit here and shit all over him for doing something that now she says he didn't do. I'm just going to let it play out. And the last thing I want to talk about, we talked on Wednesday about Deshaun Watson. When Justin and I were up at camp, you know, we were thinking, okay, I think Jameis is getting prepped here to start. He's getting all the first team reps. He's running the first team. So maybe they're just preparing him, you know, for the game on Saturday, giving Deshaun a little, you know, rest time or whatever. And it turned out part of that was true. I have no idea what's happening tomorrow night as of this recording. I don't know if Deshaun's starting. I don't know if Jameis is starting. And honestly, I don't really care. I know we talked on Wednesday and Blake's pretty adamant. We need Deshaun to start on Saturday. I mean, my preference, if I had a preference, yes, I would prefer Deshaun start, run a few series, maybe the first quarter. Let's just kind of get the gears turning here a little bit. But at the same time, am I freaking out and all this stuff like I've seen online if he doesn't play? No. I mean, honestly, not that concerned about it. Again, I fall more on the side of if two or three series in a preseason game 2 weeks before the season is what he needs to be ready for the season, then we're in big trouble. And we're in big trouble. He should be ready anyway by the time we get there. The arm soreness, they just have to evaluate whether or not that's something they want to roll with into Saturday or not. But man, were people freaking out online. Oh, here he is. He's hurt again. Oh, and then you got people on the Ultimate Cleveland show. I don't follow that show very closely. I don't know all the details. Just know the one guy on there was saying everything around Deshaun Watson is weird or something. Like, brother, I'm going to explicit a little bit. What the fuck are you talking about? A little weird. And they're talking, there's people out there saying the dude has been hurt in and out of practice all training camp. You know, he's missed a bunch of days. He has missed one partial day of camp the entire offseason program with throwing. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. Voluntary minicamp, I believe it was, he was rotating. He would throw, next day not throw, throw, next day not throw. But day one of voluntary minicamp, whenever he could have been on a beach somewhere saying, hey, I'll check in with you guys at the Mando's here in a couple weeks or whatever. I'm not coming up there for that shit. He was there. He was there on day one throwing the football. And I believe somebody on X was saying 16 training camp sessions. He threw in 15 of them. What do you mean in and out of training camp? The dude never missed a day. The only day that he actually missed the entire time throwing was a scheduled rest day on a weekend way back after the first week of training camp. And then it was, I think it was like Saturday. He had the day off. Sunday was a no practice day anyway. Back to it on Monday. And that was in July. He's still ramping up from the surgery. Guys, come the hell on. We need to, I talked about, let's chill out on Mike Hall. Let's chill the shit out on Deshaun Watson. Seriously, this is our QB1. If the Browns have any realistic chances to make a run at a Super Bowl this season, he needs to be good. He needs to be on the field making plays, and we need to support him. We can't be out there every day online. And I know a lot of people, if you're watching this show, I'm most likely not talking to you, but there are people out there that watch this and then they'll comment and say, oh, Deshaun Watson's ass. He's trash. He's a mid QB. Okay, whatever. First of all, I'm just tired of people spewing lies all over the place. Deshaun Watson's totally fine. And then everybody just the freak out on Wednesday, because I'm telling you, we were there at camp. He ran all of the individual drills. He made his throws. I mean, I'm watching him specifically because I've seen the highlight videos. I've heard the reports, but I want to see it in person. He looked fine. He looked fine. He was making throws, putting the ball where it needs to be. And then, you know, team drills came around and he didn't run the team drills. Okay, no big deal. Guess what he did the very next day? He practiced the whole time. He threw, made all the throws, ran all the drills, and did everything yesterday on Thursday. So chill out on Deshaun Watson. I get it. I get that we traded three first-round picks, and first-round picks are just holy of holies to Browns fans. Like, you can't touch our first-round picks. Are you kidding me? We need those. We need those to draft somebody who's going to flame out in 2 years. We have to have that first-round pick. Chill out, guys. We brought in a franchise quarterback, and I've said this so many different times. If you look at this from the Browns' organizational perspective, as Browns fans, we have all kinds of different perspectives. He's only played 11 games in 2 years. He hasn't played a full season since he's been here. You know, that's two incomplete seasons. From the Browns' organizational perspective, Deshaun Watson has only played one incomplete season. You have to understand the mindset. You got to understand the perspective. Because when they traded for him, they knew 100% he's not playing in the whole season in 2022. He will be suspended. Now, did they think he was going to be suspended for 11 games? That was the NFL and Roger Goodell just being a bunch of dicks and dicking us over really, really bad, because that was, I don't have time to go into it right now. But anyway, I've done it on previous episodes. You guys can just search Deshaun Watson on YouTube on our channel, and you can find all my videos on that situation. But they planned for 2022 to be a shortened season for him anyhow. Last year, he broke his shoulder. The hell do you guys want this guy to do? I mean, seriously, what do you want him to do? He broke his shoulder. Was he the only starting quarterback, or was he the only highly paid quarterback last year to end the season on IR? Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson finished the last two seasons before 2023 on IR. It happens, guys. Okay, so chill out. In terms of health right now, the injury bug has been brutal to the Browns. I guess one other thing to mention here, it was confirmed Denzel Ward does have his fifth confirmed concussion of his pro NFL career. So he's already missed at least a week now. I guess it's been over. We may be a week and a half with this concussion situation being in the protocol. And Greg Newsom's still not obviously practicing after that hamstring surgery. I talked about it on Wednesday after camp. He was out there on the sideline doing a little bit of, you know, drills just on the side doing some of these walkthrough things with some other players. And at least he's out there moving around. But fingers crossed, pray to God that we at least have two of our three cornerbacks on the field against Dallas in week one. Because if we're rolling out Martin Emerson with Cam Mitchell and Miles Harden, I am a little on the extreme butt puckered side. I need at least Greg Newsom or Denzel Ward, preferably all three of these guys out there, but I need at least one of those guys to get out there next to Marty Mark. So this episode is brought to you by Bodden Sports. Browns fans, Bodden Sports is your one-stop shop for all your athletic gear. Bodden started out perfecting and manufacturing the best balls in the business. Yeah, if that sounded dirty, that's more about your mind than my words. But hey, it's true. Baseballs, softballs, footballs, basketballs, volleyballs, soccer balls, you name it, and Bodden has engineered the highest standard sports balls available. And now they offer more than just sports balls. If you got kids playing baseball or softball, Bodden has batting gloves and bats to go along with both game balls and training balls. If you're into basketball, Bodden makes basketball specifically for indoor or outdoor use. Heck, Bodden even has all the equipment you need for pickleball, which is one sport that I hear everyone is playing and yet I still never have. And I need to fix that soon. But don't miss the backyard game section of Bodden's website, where you can order everything you need for this upcoming outdoor season. Pool balls, backyard volleyball nets, croquet, bocce, horseshoes, cornhole, and more. Right now, you can get 10% off your entire order at Bodden Sports, BADENSports.com/dogs, DAWGS, and use promo code DOGS when you check out. That's 10% off all the top quality sporting gear you need this season. BADENSports.com/dogs. We need to get healthy. We need to get through this game tomorrow. I know I said, and I know the title of this video is, you know, preseason game preview and everything. I don't know what else to preview, you know, really for the game tomorrow night. There's going to be some roster battles at the end, you know, the back half of this game that I think we need to watch play out a little bit. Would love to see Aiden Robbins get more run. We talked about that. Just want to see him. What can he do with, give him 12 to 15 carries in the second half and let's see what he can do. I know he's not going to be efficient. Our run game sucks right now with the backup line. It is god awful, but it is what it is. But what can he show? Some flashes. Can he make some yardage out of nothing? Can he continue to pass block? Can he continue to catch passes and, you know, make a guy miss? I just want to see what he's got, because with Pierre Strong hurt, Nick Chubb not back yet, and Nyheim Hines still not practicing, you know, we need to figure out our depth chart at running back. Behind our top two, obviously, is Ford and Foreman. But, you know, after that, I think it's Aiden Robbins. So we'll see how that goes. Wide receiver wise, I'm just trying to think through like the offense and all that kind of stuff. But I would like to see Cedric Tillman make a couple plays, just because week one, I think he had like one or two where he, oh, okay, there he is. Nothing crazy. Week two, I don't think he caught a pass. I could be wrong, but I don't remember seeing him pop or anything. And, you know, so I would like to see a little more out of him, you know, in Seattle. Jamari Thrash, I would just like to see him continue what he's been doing, because I feel like he is showing he's ready to step into a good depth role at the wide receiver position, which is just fantastic considering David Bell's still out and not practicing. Michael Woods, obviously the Browns like him. We like him. There could be some little bit of upside there, but he's also a sixth round player that is in his third year now after some injuries. And, you know, it would be nice to see Jamari Thrash continue to do his ascension. And he also looked really good at training camp on Wednesday in person. Defensively, you know, we'll see. It's kind of just like I feel like our safeties are hurt. At least the depth guys that, you know, we would normally be seeing. D'Anthony Bell, still not ready to go. I don't know what his status for the roster is going to be. Ronnie Hickman, still not ready to go. Kind of the same thing. I mean, I guess it just depends on the longevity of these injuries and how the Browns feel these other players at the position are performing for them. I think this is going to be it for Siaki Ika. So if you're a Siaki Ika fan, tune into the second half, watch him, make sure you record it, because I think come Tuesday, he might not be on the roster at all. Maybe not even practice squad. We'll see what happens there. Other than that, guys, I want to see a game where, and Blake said this a lot too, I want to see just a couple plays from at least the starting offense. Can we just see a little bit of this revamped, spread it out offense, you know, that Ken Dorsey and Tommy Reese and these other guys were all brought in here to help develop? Because so far it has been the same old snooze fest offense that, now, I mean, our offense is not been bad during the season, but during preseason, our offense is always just like, wow, this sucks. So I would like to see that not be the case tomorrow in Seattle. I would like to see our defense not give up big chunk plays. I know it's NFL football. I know it's going to happen, you know, but I feel like we've given up too many. We're just giving up too many yards on the ground. We're blowing coverages too often with these, you know, these backup guys that, yes, we sit here and say, oh, well, they're the backups. But they're also going to be on the roster, some of these guys, and they're going to be filling in at points in this season. And you just can't get past it. Like, you know, Myles Harden is going to play snaps during the season. So I don't want to see him, you know, blowing a coverage or undercutting a guy for a long touchdown or anything like that. So just clean football and no more damn injuries. Can we just knock that shit off right now? So let's get out of Seattle tomorrow night clean. Let's get out healthy. Let's put on a good show. I want to see just the physicality up front. Offensive line, defensive line, take it to Seattle. I feel like we have not been the dominant bullies up front. The defensive line started to get it together a little bit in the second half of last week's preseason game, which was good to see. But overall, I would just like to see pretty much a full game of both sides of the line dominating Seattle, or at least just show the physicality, bully them, show that you're not going to be the ones getting pushed around. That might change when Siaki Ika comes in. We will see, but enough. I don't want to bash Ika too much, especially here on a Friday. So you guys enjoy your Friday night. I think that's everything I need to talk about here. And, you know, here we go. Last preseason game, the final tune-up, and then roster cutdowns come on Tuesday. So I know we will be doing a live show most likely Monday or Wednesday would be my guess. But we'll figure that out, and we will let you guys know. And we'll cover all that stuff, and here we go. The season is less than 2 weeks away. Can't wait. Browns football, for real, almost here. So stay tuned to everything. We're going to have more stuff coming out, obviously, up leading up into the game and all that good stuff. It's going to be a ton of fun. Drop in the comments, what do you guys want to see against Seattle, or if the game has already happened by the time you watch this? What was I totally off about? What did I miss? And what did you see that the Browns either did well or maybe we need to be a little concerned about? Let me know. We love talking to you guys. Again, y'all are the best audience in the world, and I do sincerely mean that. Head over to jointhedogs.com if you want to play fantasy football. Again, if this is Friday, if it's Saturday, sorry, your time ran out. We've been talking about it for 2 months. So if you didn't get in by now, I mean, it's not like we didn't tell you. So we got that going on. And obviously, like the video, subscribe on YouTube, and tap that notification bell. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, would you just please scroll down to the bottom here? Give us a 5-star written review. And it doesn't have to be much. It could just say, awesome Browns show, good Browns content, whatever. Just give us 5 stars, write a little review. That helps the show and the ratings more than you realize. So we do appreciate everybody who's taken a few seconds to just go ahead and do that and help support the show. So again, thank you guys. Love you all. And again, until we talk to you guys after the game, let's go Browns, take down the Seahawks. I know it's preseason, but let's just go out and put on a nice show for all the fans and come into the regular season with a little bit of confidence. See you guys in the next one.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com. Use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.